the Lord. Well, it is glory to His name. Are you glad that the blood was applied to your heart?
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10 people that's really glad. I hope before church is over, the rest of you will at least be happy about it. How many of you are glad that the blood was applied to your heart? Give Jesus Christ a big hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, isn't He good to us? Down at the cross where my Savior died. Well, you know, there's a cross that we're carrying today, and we're dying too. I hope we're dying to ourselves. This old guy right here, he needs to be crucified daily. How about you? Amen. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Amen. Are you glad you love the Lord? Amen. Are you glad He loves you too? Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church this morning.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Did you enjoy church last night? Was the word of the Lord wonderful to last night? Amen. Well, today is a very special day to all of our moms. We want to say happy Mother's Day. God bless every one of you. We appreciate you and what you mean to your families, what you mean to this church family. May God bless all the moms today. Give our moms a nice hand if you will. Let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll be getting ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Cheyenne Sumner sends this in. I have a very special unspoken request for myself, and I was wondering if you could pray for my sister Deanna. She's having some health problems. Thank you so much for your prayers. They are greatly appreciated, so we just commit that to the Lord. Ask God to move on their behalf. Sister Elsie Miller's son Billy was burned very badly during a brush fire. They're from Middle Tennessee, and they request prayer for him. So we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Sister Sherry Wiggins offers this praise report. I want to thank everyone who has been praying for my mother. She found the mass is apparently non-cancer. They want to praise the Lord for that. But it's something called particle disease related to a metal hip implant. Please continue to remember her in prayer due to a screw that has come out from the most recent pelvis reconstruction surgery. It causes her a lot of pain. The doctor feels it could actually do more harm to remove it. Thank you, and may God bless. So we certainly pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would be mindful. This comes from Brother Dwight Hall's assembly. There was a sister there that passed away, Sister Tony Callahan. Actually, her husband passed away this morning, and she goes to Brother Dwight Hall's assembly there in North Carolina. So let's pray for that family, that God would just be mindful of them. Brother Matt Carter says to please pray for Harold Figgs. He's in the hospital from a loss of blood. Also remember his soul. Pray for his salvation. So let's remember that. I know that Brother Eddie Yance, I spoke with him on the phone just the other night, and he's requesting that you would remember him in prayer. He's got a very important doctor's appointment tomorrow, and they're just asking and just really, really concerned that you would remember him in prayer as he goes for that doctor's appointment tomorrow. Sister Gerald sends this in to please have prayer for my granddaughter's husband, Mark, who is on a 9-month deployment and needs prayer. So let's pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Then here's another prayer request for Brother Ed Yance. Just pray that he'll get a good report from the doctor tomorrow. Brother Greg Robbins, not feeling well, want to remember him in prayer. Brother Rex Belt's brother passed away after a lengthy battle with cancer. Brother Rex has been with him and is very weary. Please pray for his strength. The services will be tomorrow evening in Greenville. The viewing, I guess, will be from 6 to 8. Brother Jack Yonk sends that in. So if you get a chance to send a card, or if you could go, that would be very much appreciated. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a God that's able? Let's stand this morning, if you will. Let's sing that chorus together once again. Glory to His name. That's the greatest name I can think of calling on today. How about you?
Amen. I'm singing glory to His name.
Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord Jesus, and how we appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, knowing, God, that we could be in a grave. God, that we could be in a hospital somewhere. God, out somewhere where we don't know you. But I'm so thankful that we are in church today, Lord Jesus. And God, today as we think about our mothers, God, we just praise you for having a godly mother. Lord God, for each one in our church today, Lord Jesus. This morning, Lord Jesus, as I got up early and went to the graveyard, put flowers on my mother's grave. God, I thought of all the people, Lord, that maybe their mother's done gone home. But God, I'm so thankful that somewhere along the way, Lord, that there was an influence to us, and that they helped us. And Heavenly Father, we bring our requests, our needs to you this morning. God, each one of them you hear this morning. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll stretch forth your hand. God, I pray that you'll heal, that you'll save, and that you'll deliver. God, to those that lost their loved ones, God, that you'll be with them, Heavenly Father. God, we pray for our pastor today. Lord, that you'll bless him, Lord Jesus. And help us, oh God, to receive the words that he brings forth. God, we commit this service fully into your hands. We pray that you'll bless it in Jesus' name. We'll give you the praise. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. How many visitors do we have with us today? Would you just raise your hand? Well, let's give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. We're glad to have you. Amen. All those that are streaming this service, pray it'll be a great blessing to them. I know it's a great blessing to get to be in church. How about you? Do you realize that? It's a tremendous blessing and opportunity. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise, if you will. Let's sing this song this morning. I'm glad that he didn't throw the clay away. I'm glad for one thing, too, that he keeps taking me every day back to the potter's wheel. And I'm glad to get to go. I'm glad he loves me enough to take me. I'm glad I'm obedient enough to go. How about you? Are you glad that he didn't throw you away? Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning.
I don't know the words, sorry.
Empty and broken, I came back to him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin. But he did not despair, he started over.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he just keeps working on us, molding us into what he wants us to be? Praise the Lord. One of these days, Brother Terry, it's going to pay great dividends for us. We've got a home that's out of this world and a retirement program that never ends. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Brother Harry, won't you sing that verse for us one more time, the second verse? Let's sing it. Let's join Brother Harry and sing that verse. I'm so glad that he's the potter and he can mold us and he can make us. God has got great patience. He never gets in a hurry. And he saw the end of you before you ever began. And he knows if he started this thing in you, he will fulfill it and he will finish it. And whatever you are this morning, in whatever state you're in, if you was in his mind then, You're going to be with him over here in the end. Do you believe that with all your heart? He's got great patience. He's not like me and you. I see you and you see me and boy, we're just ready to just, oh boy, to throw each other in the trash heap. But God's got great patience and he's got a great plan for your life. Aren't you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. You're the quietest message church I've heard lately. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise this morning.
He is the potter. How he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up all the broken pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away.
Sing about it. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We had a late prayer request that came in. Ben Gould sends this in to please pray for the son and wife of an acquaintance of mine. His son is a young boy that's paralyzed from the waist down. The mother really battles depression over his illness, but they know that God can heal them. They asked me to have our church pray. So let's pray over that need. When Brother Donnie comes out, I'm sure as we pray, just hold this request in your heart. We're going to try to work three songs in. We've got about 12 or 15 minutes to get it done. I believe we can do it if you'll sing fast. You come. I know you. Where is Brother Justin? Brother David. Brother David Swanson. You sing for us. Where's Brother Justin Reagan? Is he here? Brother Justin, come on to the platform. And then Brother Harry's going to sing a song for us. Let's give our singers a nice hand this morning.
God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals his truth to those who are his own. And all the best and worst of man won't change the master's plan, for he's God and God alone. He's God and God alone. He's fit to rule the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God. God and God alone. He'll be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. He's God and God alone. He's fit to rule the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. For God and God alone, He's God and He's God alone. He's fit to rule the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. For God and God
Mother's Day, I'm going to go ahead and let it be known that my mom's the best. Period. Y'all know I hate school, but I love my mom. I love her more than anything. She's awesome. I hope it's a blessing to you. Something Brother Donnie said last night is just something small. He said, surrender. Yeah, like, duh, Justin. Surrender. Leave it in his hands. And I just hope it's... I learned this song last night. Went home, and I learned this last night, and I pray it's a much a blessing to you as it is to me. Dawn is breaking, and I can hear you whisper in the breeze. The world is waking, and I am here to meet you on my knees. When I'm with you, my soul finds rest, 'cause I can leave it in your hands. The day keeps coming, pulling me a million different ways. I'm always running, but never seem to catch the things I chase. When I'm with you, my soul finds rest, 'cause I can leave it in your hands. Every sorrow, I leave it in your hands. Every sickness, I leave it in your hands. All my failures, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I leave it in your hands. So I am laying the weight of all these burdens at your feet. No more waiting, 'cause you've already won my victories. In Jesus my soul finds rest, 'cause I can leave it in your hands. Every promise, I leave it in your hands. Every healing, I leave it in your hands. And my future, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I leave it in your hands. It's your hands that form the mountains. Your hands set boundaries for the seas. And in your hands you hold tomorrow. The same hands that took the nails from me. Every sorrow, I leave it in your hands. Every sickness, I leave it in your hands. All my failures, I leave them in your hands. Amen. I leave it in your hands. And every promise, I leave it in your hands. Every healing, I leave it in your hands. I leave it in your hands, amen. I can leave it in your hands, amen. I can leave it in your hands.
Well, maybe this song will be a blessing to somebody. I say this, if you're here and you're away from the Lord, He's waiting on you.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw Him run. It's when He ran to me, He took me. me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, you know I still love you. He called me by surprise when God ran. I left home. I knew I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things would ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me, and down that dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time, the only time I ever saw him run is when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He called me by surprise, and he brought me to my knees. When God ran, I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still when God ran.
How grateful we are for such a love. I'd hate to think where we'd be today if it wasn't for the love of God, wouldn't you? Amen. Are you happy to be in church today?
Amen.
So appreciate the opportunity that we have to be able to assemble, not just so much in a church building, because millions of people have, in different time zones and different parts of the world, on Sunday gathered together. And many of them were not any better once they left than they were when they came. But yet, I trust by God's grace today that He will help us to be affected, impacted, not to where we just hear certain things, but where our lives will be changed for the better and we'll actually be better people.
Amen.
That's what church is about, isn't it?
Amen.
Coming together, hearing our mistakes or our faults, our shortcomings, and be able to get direction from our Father and know what to do about them. Amen. So appreciate His grace to us today. Let's turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. I want to read the parable that we've been reading for the last few services. I'll speak to you again from that thought today. Also, I want to make a couple announcements. As many of you know, Brother Lenio and Sister Lois are up in New Jersey with Brother Robert Marrero and his group there. Brother Lenio's up there for work, and not sure exactly how long he's going to be gone or how long he's going to be there, but I've asked Brother Tim Mullen if he would play the guitar for us, if he would assume the permanent position of being the guitar. Brother Tim can be all over the platform. He can play the drums, the guitars, the bass, the piano, and we certainly appreciate it too. So we've asked him to assume that position. And also I want to extend today to our mothers a happy Mother's Day, whether you're young or old, ugly or pretty, fat or skinny. It don't really matter. If you're a mother, then you've got a great honor and a great task that lays before you. I wish my mama was alive today so I could call her and get her some roses or take her out to dinner or something. So if your mama's alive, you ought to be grateful. You ought to let her know today. Many of you that have lost your mother, you know exactly what I'm talking about. May God bless you on your day, mothers. Let's read together. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, previously bidden, they had agreed to come now, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. Notice how Jesus says this. So they make light of this invitation, then the reaffirmed invitation, and then they go their ways, what they want, the direction they want to go. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not. Notice what this says, were not. It doesn't say are not. But they were not. They were not worthy. Let's bow our heads together. I may like to be remembered today in prayer before the Lord. Amen. Me too. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. Once again, that we have been given this opportunity that we can assemble ourselves together as says the scriptures. We are grateful, Lord, that you have given us a desire in our hearts to come to the house of God. We believe if you were living in this day, you would go to church because you did when you were here at your first advent. So if you're in us, then we believe we will find our way to the house of God. Lord, we're thankful that we come not because, well, we feel like we have to. We love to come to the house of God. Sit at your table, hear your word, worship, sing, praise. It's the highlight of our lives. Father, I pray that you'd help us today as we endeavor to look into your word. May the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven become more clear to us, Father, as we open up the pages of your Bible. Anybody physically able could be able to turn back the pages, but you're the only one that can take the word and make it live to us. So may you unveil yourselves to us today in an apocalypsis, which means an unveiling. Granted, I pray, and Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Saints, you may be seated. Certainly love you today and appreciate you. I want to resume where we closed off last night. I want to speak to you again today. I'm not worthy, but I'd like to read you a couple of statements or paragraphs rather from Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Brother Bam says, pray God to let the light of this day raise in you to be an obedient servant to God, and let the fruit of the Spirit ever remain in your life. That is a life worthy of the gospel. Now what a prayer that we as the people of God should be praying, not for new houses and new lands, and God promises he'll take care of those things, but can you imagine how God would feel if we prayed this way? Lord, let the light of this day raise in me. Let the fruit of the Spirit be so abounding in my life that I can be the kind of a Christian, Lord, that you want, and that my life will be worthy of the gospel. He says in paragraph 272, let me say this in closing, the only way, and he emphasizes it again, the only way that you can live a life that's worthy of the gospel is let the gospel itself, every bit of the gospel, come into you and reflect his promises back. Now the gospel is something that, of course, is talked about worldwide, around the world, in China and Asia and Africa and different continents of the world. The gospel is talked about. And many people think that they believe the gospel because they preach about the blood of Jesus, or God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. But that's only the introductory stage to the gospel. That's not all that the gospel consists of. It'd be like you going down to the Ford Motor Company tomorrow and say, I want to buy a new car. You pull out there and there's a frame and the tires and the steering wheel, but you ain't got no body on it. You gonna fall for that? You're going to pay $373 a month for a set of four tires and an engine and a transmission and a rear end? You ain't got no seats? You ain't got no windows. You ain't got no doors. Boy, you're going to look awful funny now. If you're going to go ride there for a go-kart, you might be okay. But if you're going to drive it to work, you better take a raincoat and a big umbrella because you're getting cheated. So you realize when people say, well, we preach the gospel. Really? What does that mean? Well, God so loved the world. That's not the gospel. That's the introduction to the gospel. That's how the gospel began. But the gospel is demonstrating the power of God. So the gospel is more than, well, we were all sinners and we all needed a Savior. Amen. That's wonderful. But was that all Paul preached? Not hardly. Was that all that Peter preached? It was not. So the gospel then is the further unveiling. It is the good news. It starts with the cross. It starts with the propitiation for our sins. But it certainly does not end there. So in that the gospel, every promise of the gospel, the only way to live a life that is worthy of the gospel is to let every promise of the gospel to be able to live in our lives, and when it does, it comes to fruition and then it manifests itself back out of our lives. When the word is laying here on the page, you know, Malachi 4 laid in this Bible for thousands of years. It never caused no trouble. It never caused any difficulty. People read it and said, well, one day it'll come to pass. But one day when that promise is made manifest, oh my, it's been causing trouble ever since. Isaiah 9:6, laid in the Word of God for thousands of years, 700 and some years. Never caused one bit of problem. But one, that promise was made flesh. My goodness. It busted up churches. It caused all kinds of deals. Ain't that right? And it's the same way today. Quotes about the bride. Scriptures about the bride. As long as they lay right there. Oh, that's such a wonderful scripture. I love that scripture. That is so beautiful. But let them scriptures come in, Donnie Reagan. Oh, my. Look out, devil. Whenever them scriptures and them quotes are made manifest in you and you and you and you, that's what tears the devil up. It's when the word is made flesh. The word in print does not bother him. The word in book form, that don't tear up somebody. He can quote it himself. He can outquote every preacher that ever preached. He can outsing every singer that ever sung. Come on, children, you know it's the truth. But when that word is made flesh, that's one advantage I've got over the devil. I can live right and he can't. I can be a son of God and he can't be. I can talk like God, act like God, walk like God because I'm a part of God. Amen. And he cannot do it. So God desires that every promise then of the gospel would be made manifest in our life. Now listen, he says this, the only way that you can live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Now remember, this is not coming to the Lord initially because there's no way we could ever be worthy. This is after we've accepted him. This is a worthiness that has nothing to do with being worthy of, oh, I'm going to quit smoking and drinking and then I'll be worthy of salvation. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a life after salvation. So in order to be worthy of the gospel, we must receive the promises of the gospel. So the Bible then is not like a buffet. Okay, I like cucumbers. I don't like jalapeno peppers, so I'll pass on them. And I do like red tomatoes, but I don't like yellow tomatoes. And then I like lettuce, but I don't like romaine lettuce. I like iceberg. And I don't like these carrots, but I do like this. And I like white potatoes, but boy, I don't like sweet potatoes. So people take the Bible and the gospel as a buffet. So they walk down the buffet. I'll take one of those. I hate that stuff. Oh, I don't like macaroni and cheese. I hate green beans. And that's the way they do preaching. So they sit there while a preacher's preaching and they pull and they sort and they separate. They put that in the like bucket and this in the dislike bucket and this one in the I don't know bucket. So then they're sorting all through service. They're sorting like, dislike, seated. I like that. I'm not sure now which one I like. I've been forgot which one. I'm about to go back and read this in that tape and then sort it all through again. And then they wonder why they didn't get nothing out of church. It ain't no wonder. You're so confused about which bucket to put whatever part in that you like or don't like, and you sit there and sort. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. The reason some of y'all can't hear me now, because you're sorting. You don't know if you like this part or not. You still ain't made up your mind. But whenever the gospel, if the Bible says it, just go ahead and say it already. I believe it. I believe it. Whether I understand it or not, I believe it. And I will not be satisfied until my life manifests every promise of the gospel. Then if you had that attitude, but Brother Donnie, how will I know if I believe it or not before I've heard it? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll believe it. And when you do hear it, the Holy Ghost will say, amen. But if you've got to pull it through your intellectual faith, then you'll have to hear it first. And then decide whether or not you believe it. But if you're born of God, you'll believe every word of God. Might be 20 years before you ever find one of them, but you'll believe them when you find it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost in you wrote this word.
Now watch, he said, then come and to reflect the promises back, make them vindicated. Let God live in you to vindicate the promise of this day. Friends, this message is not just for a prophet. It is not just for Brother Branham. This message is for us to let this word vindicate itself back into our lives as well. Now, if we are the Christians of this day, let's receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. He is the word. Don't deny any of it. Say it's the truth. Place it in your heart. Watch the fruit of the Spirit upon you and fulfill every promise that he made in the Bible. God wants to fulfill his word. He don't have any hands but mine and yours. He don't have any eyes but mine and yours. He has no tongue but mine and yours. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The branches bear the fruit. The vine energizes the branch. That's the life that's worthy. Now watch this. So a Baptist person that loves the Lord and they're a Christian and they go to a Baptist church and they absolutely believe what's taught in that church, they are going to live a Baptist life. Because that is the outline. So if a preacher, they stand up and say, well, the Bible don't say nothing about this and that and the other, and you can do this because we don't think it's wrong for you to smoke, or we don't think it's wrong for you to do this and that. So what are they going to do? They're going to comply to the teaching of that church and that pastor. So they are going to live a Baptist life. Now you take another person. Well, I was born and raised a Methodist all my life. My mother's a Methodist. Well, over to Methodist church. Now they might be a little bit different in the way they approach it. So this person then is going to live a Methodist life. We go to the Presbyterian, they're going to be totally different from the Baptist, Methodist. Go to the Lutheran, go to the Catholic. Of course, they knew anything and everything. And they're going to live what? A Catholic life. Because the priest says that if you come and you sin and you do all these wrongs, then you come to me and confess your wrongs, and then I'll stand here in the stead of Christ and I'll forgive you. My, that would be a real open invitation to do anything you want to do, wouldn't it? Well, then what are you going to do? You're going to live a Catholic life because you believe what the church says about that teaching. You understand? Well, then if you're a Pentecostal, depending on which branch of Pentecost you are, if you're the more liberal, loose Pentecostal, then you'll believe, well, I can speak in tongues, I can shout, I can cut my hair in this day because really that don't matter no more. That's old fashioned. Well, I can live this and I can do that. Yet, if you're a Pentecostal and you still believe in the gifts, well, you come to church and you were used to your mother sat there with long hair and your grandmother, you'll come in with it real, real short and you have on breeches and so on. But now that's an acceptable Pentecostal life. But yet you'll never go to a Baptist church. No, sir, I'll not go there. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I'll never go to a Methodist church. I don't believe that. So what are you doing? You are living a Pentecostal life because that's what you're hatched out under. But wonder what you'd be if you ever got hatched out under the Word. So wonder what you'd be then if you went to a church where they believe in holiness, they believe in the gifts, they believe in the new birth, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they believe God sent a prophet, and they believe what he had to say, and they believe there's a rapture, the beliefs are coming over, then what kind of life would you live out from underneath that church if you believe what that church taught? I'll tell you what kind of life it'd be. A life worthy of the gospel. But now, if you go to a message church, and that church doesn't teach all the fullness of the word, or you stay home and listen to tapes, and you don't think you have to listen to a preacher, or actually you go to a church where they do teach the word, but you yourself sort and you pull back and forth, and yet you could live there, and you could actually live a life under that kind of a teaching, and still not be worthy of the gospel. Now, it does not mean the gospel in its fullness is not being preached, but it means your choice is you choose not to live that kind of a life. And you will do that by excuse. And you say, well, I don't think it's necessary, or I can't live that way, or I'm young. I've got plenty of things I want to do yet, and I'll do it when I get older. So you know what, friends? As we said here today, each one of us are going to make our choice. I firmly believe with all of my heart that we're hearing the gospel, don't you? Yeah. We believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost will be salvation by the blood, mercy of God, many, 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 many things I could go on and say. But the next thing is, now, what will you and I be out of hearing that word? We say, man, I thank God for church where we hear the truth. I thank God for a preacher that'll tell us the truth. But what good does it do you if you do not make up your mind to have a life that corresponds to the gospel that you're hearing? It will actually be against you. You would be better off to have went to a church where you heard hardly nothing. That way God would at least judge you for what you've heard. But if you sat in a church and sat under ministry after ministry that God gives us to tell the truth, and then we choose, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to live that way. I don't care what he says. He just gets up there and stomps and spits around and carries on. I ain't living that way. Ain't nobody telling me how to live. Well, go ahead and live the way you want to live and go ahead and carve your place out of place in hell. But don't look for me because I won't be there. Because I'm going to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to the parable again in verse 8. Watch, Jesus says, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now their lives have proved they were not worthy. This is not the initial bidding, but this is the second call. So they proved their lives were not worthy of the gospel which they had supposedly said that they believed. Now notice the next command then in verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways. Now, these people have turned it down. They've refused it. So God says, all right, fine. That's what they want to do. Go into the highways. So the highways would be a road outside of the city. So now we're moving beyond the bounds. So we move beyond the bride, which is not even mentioned in this parable. We move beyond the boundaries of the bride, which is the ecclesia or the elect of God. And we move over into the guest, which partakes of the book of life. Then we move over on out into the low scum of the earth, would say. The off-scouring, the off-cast of humanity. And we will move in then to not only those who would be dressed well enough to come to a feast, or those who would be nice enough to respond, but we'll move out to those that are so low and so rotten and so low down. And we will move out into the highways. Now notice the Lord Jesus, these words that he chooses to use. Go ye therefore into the highways. So we're going beyond the city bounds into the country to where roads would meet. So here we come out to where roads would meet, a common place for people to have their wares and sell and do all this sort of thing. So these servants go beyond the bride. The servants go beyond the initial ones that was bidden to come. And they go out to the low, the downcast of humanity. And then they begin to offer them the same invitation. And they come. They say, look, the master is giving a wedding supper. Now, you're not invited to be the bride. That's already chosen. But he wants his house to be full. And if you are willing to come, then you are more than welcome to come and sit down at the table of the king. Oh my. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the merchant. So we're going beyond the bride, we're going on the Jews, and we're going now to the entirety of the Gentile dispensation. It will cover the darkest coast of Africa. It will come into the mountains of Asia. It will come into the western part of the United States. It will go all over the entire earth, because Jesus said, when the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, then shall the end come. So it will cover every place where there's a human being. It may go to the Inuits in Alaska. It may go to the different tribes in the Congo of Africa, but God will allow each of them to have the opportunity to sit down at the table of the king. What a privilege. Oh my. Now, as many as you will find, he says, go bid them to come. Now remember, this is not the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is only to the elect of God. But this is the gospel feast, which is being offered to multitudes and masses. Notice in verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways, doing exactly as they were commanded to do, went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found. Both good, oh my. You can't tell, there's no way you're going to tell me that the gospel actually draws bad people? The preaching of the word draws bad people? You mean bad people go to church? Oh man. Hypocrites go to church. Folks full of devils go to church. Oh, you're going to get quiet on me. Now watch how Jesus conveys that in this church, his church, will be the dual nature or the asserting of the wheat and the tares. Now watch this. Those servants went to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So the gospel is now offered to those who really have no divine inclination toward it. Now, they have no real nature of God that corresponds from the seed word, which they would have been born with by predestination. They have nothing within them to correspond and pull them toward it. Yet, they're offered this. Now, many of them, they will not have that at all, but they will make up in their mind, yes, that is so kind of that great king. That is so merciful of that king. You mean he wants me to come to the table? Yes, he's offering you a place. Oh, my. Well, if he's offering that to me, I'm going to go. And I'm going to go with such an attitude. I'm going to be so happy. If nobody at that church talks to me, I'm going to go anyhow. If the preacher don't shake my hand every 6 months, won't make no difference to me. I'm not worthy of it. No how. Yes, sir, I'll go. Amen. I'll go.
Others are going, say, I'll go. I think I might go and watch.
Is that church that's on topics? Is that church where everybody's talking about on the websites? One of them. Well, I think I'll go and see for myself. Come and see. Come and see. No, maybe these folks had never even heard of the wedding. They knew nothing about it. This is their first time to even hear that there was a wedding going on. They said, really? Oh my goodness, you mean a great king? Yeah, well, we live out here and we never even heard of that. Well, we're plumb over in the Tibetan mountains. We know a thing about the gospel. I mean, we've been a Buddhist all of our lives, so we don't know anything about it. So somebody goes over on a packed mule and they're packing a Bible or a gospel tract. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Really? My, I never heard of such a thing in my life. I said, well, would you want to come? I think I will because this old Buddhist priest, I mean, he ain't never given me nothing all my life. No, how? I prayed to that image sitting up there and it ain't never moved. It ain't never even batted an eye. It ain't never raised a finger. I'd like to know a living God. I'd like to know a God that could heal and save and deliver. I believe I'll go. Oh, you know what? They don't have time to go home and change clothes. These are the lower class people anyway, so their other clothes on a different stream and them and work clothes would be they'd be clean. They still have clothes and tatters and wear marks and all that. So these people, it's presented to them and they say, I believe I'll go. So you mean this is not a trick? No trick. He'll save you if you let him. What are the strings attached? Well, what I got to do? We'll talk about that later. Do you want to go or not go? Now, no doubt some of them are beggars. Some of them are the low-class farmers, tenants. Some of them have been slaves. So they go out and they bid them to come. And here comes this drove of people. Some of them no doubt stank. Their clothes was despicable. Their English, their way of speaking, as we'd say, oh, it was awful. They didn't understand the king's English, and they sure didn't talk it. But something moved them. These servants had such a compelling ability about them. Can you imagine? They were anointed from the person of the king. Now you just in your mind think now they have come directly from the presence of the king. They have seen the look upon his face. He wants his house filled. He wants his mercy to go from sea to sea. He wants it to go from one pole to the next. He wants it to go from the east, from the west. And these servants behold the intensity of the look on the king's face. And they leave out of that without aspiration. I must go and I must convey this. I must be a true messenger of the king. You want to go to the king's house? Okay. You didn't respond quick enough. You want to go to the king? Okay. But you imagine him, you want to go? The king sent me to invite you. You want to go? They compelled. They didn't just, how you doing? You want to go? You want to go? You want to go? Okay, see, y'all didn't respond quick enough. But they compelled. Don't you want to go? Why? They had come under the influence, Lord of mercy. Oh, God, give us preachers that are so under the influence of the king. They can see that look upon his face. They feel the aspiration of God's soul. And they compel. They compel. They don't just give a casual invitation. Anybody want to go? Okay, I'm out of here. But they're so moved by the impression that they have got from the king. They said, please, don't you want to go? Please leave your life behind you. Please come to the king. Now notice in this drawing of the gospel, the Bible says it gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Preaching the gospel gathers all kinds of people. Some that can be saved, of course, some that cannot. You know, Jesus, he incorporates this single mystery in several different stories and puts it in what we call parabolic form, which is a parable. He conveys it here, but he also conveys it in other parables. Let's look at another statement here. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, this is John the Baptist preaching about the coming of the Lord Jesus and defining what the Messiah, the Christ, would do. He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Now, any of y'all have any idea what he's even talking about? A fan was an agricultural instrument that was used whenever the wheat had got to a stage that it was ready to be harvested. And they would go through one and two and three steps to be able to bring the wheat in. Then they would bring the wheat into what they called a winnowing floor. Now the chaff or the shuck, as it is into the last stage of the shuck, when it had come up and grown around the wheat grain, and it looked like the wheat, same color of the wheat, identical to the wheat, except of course it had no life. But it was so encumbered around the wheat that it was just like this around the wheat. Now the wheat is on the inside, but the chaff is on the outside. So they would have to beat it and beat it and beat it. And then they would have a big fan, a large type of fan which could be operated by your hands this way. So the master would come over and he would take the fan in his hands and he would stir up a wind. He would stir up a wind. Now they would also take it up on a winnowing fork like this, go under it, and they would pitch it up into the air, and then whenever the winds of doctrine would come through, the chaff would blow away. Because the chaff was real light. It had no life in it, so it was real white light. So when the winds of doctrine would come through and you would throw it up into the air, then they would carry the light away. But because the wheat had life and had value and had character, it was heavier than the chaff and it would fall right back down to the winnowing floor. I hope I'm heavy today. Don't you? I hope I'm loaded down with godly character. Now John the Baptist said, whose fan is in his hand. Now remember, what color is the chaff? Same color as the wheat. What is the form? Exact same form and shape as the wheat. Where is the chaff found? It's not found out on the highway. It's not found well yonder. It's found where? On the floor. Do you understand? The church is the floor. Now listen, John says, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. Not the floor, but his floor. So the master then is the possessive one of the floor, so the floor must be his. You'll agree with that. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now then he will take the fan and he will blow the chaff that will throw it up into the wind. Most of the time the winnowing floors were built up around Jerusalem or someplace out there where it was high, and they would catch the evening wind. So they would pick a high place where the wind would be the greatest. So they pick up here on the threshing floor of Araunah, which David had bought, and there was a high place near where the temple is built. And he would come up on the high place, the evening wind would blow, and for whatever reason, the morning wind would blow. During the middle of the day, of days of Lucifer and West and all that, the wind would kind of lay down a little bit, and then the evening time, the wind would pick up again. So in the evening time, you're out there throwing it all up. Here comes Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. Boy, it's causing a big ruckus. Man, the wheat's just flying around everywhere, and the shucks are flying everywhere. And where are these men working from? The floor. The church. Praise be to God. So John says that Jesus will have his fan in his hand. And Jesus said, don't think I've come to bring peace. But I've come to set a man against his father and variance in the home and this and that and the other. You mean the Lord Jesus? Yeah. He's got the fan in his hand. So whenever he goes to blowing this now, what is it all about? Separation. Separation. But John says that Christ will purge his floor. I wonder, children. I wonder if that's not where we are right now. You see, the winnowing and the winds of doctrine must carry the chaff away. But after it's carried away, the floor must be purged. No need to purge the floor in the final stage until you've done with your threshing. Isn't it amazing that when Judas gets up from the table, he's sitting there eating. John said, Lord, which one is it that's going to do this? And Jesus said to him that dips with me in the dish, it's him. Jesus takes his bread, dips it in the dish, and at the same time Judas Iscariot takes his bread and dips, and maybe his hand touched the hand of the Lord Jesus, and John knew right there Judas was the betrayer. Judas sitting there for a few more moments, and the Lord Jesus reaches over and speaks to him and says, whatever you've got to do, do it. Judas gets up and walks out. Now Jesus begins to unveil St. John 14, St. John 15, St. John 16, St. John 17. You understand, this is the sermons that was revealed to the elect apostles after Judas has left. Jesus starts talking to them and they remain in the upper room for a while. And then they come down the upper room and they start down the back alleys going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And these chapters in St. John, some of the most beloved, wonderful things that were spoken in the New Testament were spoken after Judas had left. Amen. And remember what happened. The devil entered into Judas. He got right up on off on the table and left the presence of Christ. And the Bible says Satan entered into him. What was Jesus doing? Purging the floor. Purging the floor. Oh my. Notice this in the Ephesian church age. Now to get the real meaning of what we're about to go into, I must caution you to ever keep in mind that religion, spiritual matters, if you like, is composed of two parts that intertwine but are as opposite as black and white. Religion and the spiritual world are made up of those two trees which have their roots in Eden, both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Thus in the Ephesian church is the same paradox. The church is made up of good and bad. Wow, this stumbles people so much. They think everybody that goes to church ought to be a Christian. Where'd you get that lie? The Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches us that in the church is good and bad, saints and hypocrites. It depends on which one you're looking for. Now notice this. The church is made up of good and bad. This is the kingdom of heaven. The church is made up of good and bad. Two vines make the church. They are like the wheat and tares, going up side by side, but one is the true and the other is the false. Now God will speak to each one. He will talk about each one. He will call them church. So God now, during the church ages, will talk to both of them, and he will call both of them church. Lord. He will call them both church, and only the elect will really know which one is the true spirit. Only the elect will not be deceived. Praise be to God. Matthew 24:24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders insomuch if it were possible they should deceive the very elect. So way back there in the early church, a very short period after Pentecost, it didn't take the devil hardly no time till he was allowed to come among them and start sowing the darnel. Darnel. Tares. The false vine got to intertwine itself around the true vine, going to the same churches. Imagine there in the Ephesian church where Paul started. There was seed and non-seed, elect and non-elect. Both of them called themselves church, and both of them said they spoke for God. And we find these deeds of the Nicolaitans, and that spirit is going to be found fighting that true vine until it is destroyed by God. From our studies, we've already learned that much of the revelation is totally misunderstood because we've not formally known that the church spoken of and spoken to in this book does not refer to the pure ecclesia, the elect, the body of Christ, the bride, but it speaks to the entire body of people who are called Christians. Don't you understand? That's why we're so misunderstood and our message is so misunderstood. Because we preach a bride and a church. And everybody else preaches what? A church. They don't see the bride. They do not see the separation of the bride and the church. Why? They're still living under the delusion. Under the affirmation of what they think is mine. He purchased all one body. But the scripture doesn't teach it that way. Thank God for a prophet. Notice now, he speaks to the entire body of people who are called Christians, whether they be true or merely nominal. And all Israel is not Israel, so all Christians are not Christians. Wow. Thus we learn that the church is made up of two kinds. And yet God will look at both of them. In the conclusion of the whole thing, God will look at both of them and call them church. They are church. Here's the false sign, here's the true. And God will look at both of them in the same movement and say, hey church, what about this church? What about that church? And the false will look to the true and say, don't you try to put me out. He called me church. And the true will say to the false, we're not trying to put you out, but we're letting you know you're not the ecclesia if you don't live the right kind of life worthy of the gospel. You're not worthy to go to the wedding supper if you're not living a life that's godly and holy. Oh. Two vines are motivated by the two kinds of spirits. One has the Holy Spirit while the other is endued with the spirit of Antichrist. Both claim to know and be known of God. Both purport to speak for God. All these anti-message websites, they're speaking for God, they say. Do they believe that? Not a question in my mind they believe it. But they're speaking contrary to what God has vindicated to be the truth. We feel like we're speaking for God, do we not? Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Mike Price, all these other preachers around the message that feel like they're speaking for God. And yet we're speaking total two opposite different things. And here you are, and you've got to try to figure out which one's right. Well, if you're going to figure it, you're going to be at the wrong end of the figuring stick. You better be asking God for revelation. You better be asking God, Lord, make your way known to me. Now watch this. Both purport to speak for God. Both believe certain basic truths. And differ on others. But since both bear the name of the Lord, listen, being called Christ Christians, by such name bearing, obviously claiming relationship to Him, which God calls it marriage, God now holds them both responsible to Him and therefore speaks to each. We further learn that these two vines would grow side by side until the end of the ages when both would come to maturity and both be harvested. The false vine would not overcome and destroy the true vine. But then, neither would the true vine be able to bring the false vine into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It makes no difference how many emails you send, what you post on your Facebook page, whatever we try to do, we will never save many of these folks, friends. They'll never be done. You might as well accept the fact and spend your energies and time where they can be used and appreciated. Now watch, let's look at another parable, Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. So here is the kingdom of heaven. And the gospel that's going to be preached, now this is not like a fishing poles and things like that, but it actually is a large net. Most of these men were fishers. Of course, they would have known exactly what he's talking about. So here stands the fisherman up on the ship. Now, they watch the lunar cycles of the moon, and they try to know exactly when the fish will run, and they have a pretty good, you know, idea when it'll move, because they know the lunar cycles affect the oceans and the fish and all that. So whenever they watch it, nah, it's 4 o'clock in the evening, it's time to go out. So they get out, okay, this lunar phase is lining up with here, and the polar axis, and so on, so on, so on. So they get out there, and they take their nets, and they go to throwing them across. They lay them across the sea, thickness and multitudes of people. So they throw out the gospel net. Hey! God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So they... And the net starts sinking down in the mass of humanity. And there's multitudes of fishes that are caught in the net. Then the preachers go to haul it in. Wow, man, I went up there. 5 people got saved. 10 people got saved. 30 people got saved. We say that now where, you know, years ago it's 500 come to the altar. 1,000 come to the altar. We say 3. Glory to God. What a meeting. 3 people come to God. Praise the Lord. We don't need much of a net anymore. All you need is one of them goldfish things that your kids have. You know about that big around? We're catching 1 or 2 at a time by the day. Come on, you know it's the truth. Why? Because the times, the signs of the time, it's almost over, church. Where is that drawing power of God that you and I have seen in our lifetime, Brother Jim? Where is that drawing power of God when 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 people come to an altar at a time? It's not to be found. So they throw the net out. And the weights of the net carry it down. And the fish are... Then the men draw the drawstring. And then they pull it together. Man alive. This is so heavy. Wow, two fish. Man, what a big catch. I'll tell you, friend, in my lifetime, I'll be 58 in a couple of months. Been preaching since I was 18. In my lifetime, I have seen altar calls go from hundreds. Altar calls that I would make in Pentecost, where you'd see 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever it was, that would come to an altar and stay there 3 and 4 hours and cry and beat the altar and pray down to where you've got to beg people. I stood in Kenya several years ago, Brother Barry Coffey, myself, and several ministers, and we had a convention there under a tent. 5,000 people coming to them meetings. Two people come to God. Why? It's almost over. But thank God for fishers that's still out there. Boy, they'll throw it out there and, well, didn't get nothing that service. They'll throw it out again that Saturday night. Draw it in. Man, didn't get nothing Saturday night. Throw it out there again. Draw it in. Didn't get nothing Sunday morning. Well, Brother Darrell, God bless you. Brother David, Brother Terry, Brother Gene, God bless you. Brother, appreciate you all coming. Come back and be with us. Man, thank you. Come back and be with us. And say, Lord, there wasn't nobody coming to the altar. Lord, there was nobody got saved. But what was you preaching, brother? You was preaching about get ready, bride. Get ready, bride. Love your brother. Don't have no bitterness in your heart. Don't you understand the gospel is more than bringing in fish? It's getting the bride dressed for Revelation 19. The marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. Now watch how Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven in verse 48. So the net is full. Now this is the early dispensation, of course. Which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Matthew chapter 22, verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now let's look again, if you would, in Matthew. Watch Jesus as He gives us another great parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now watch. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. The word appeared is come to light or made manifest. You mean they just came up when the wheat got mature? No. No, they were so much like to wheat until the fruit time, you couldn't tell them apart. Now, it wasn't that the tares had just appeared. Remember, Jesus gives us the parable that the man that went forth sowing the good seed was Him. But while men slept, then the enemy came in and sowed the tares. And there they grow for months and months and months. My, the tares, the farmer looked at it and said, man alive, no darnel, no tares, no wheat. Wow, I am so grateful. I've never had a wheat crop like this before, that you never had wheat. But he looks and says, first month, no wheat. The second month, no tares. Third month, oh, all wheat, oh my. And then all of a sudden, at the end time, when the wheat has reached its last cycle, right before the barn. You understand where we are? We're heading to the barn dance. Woo! The harvest festival. Amen. Don't you hear little David tuning up his harp? Don't you hear the sons of Korah getting together on their instruments? Why? I'm talking about a wedding party for the bride and the groom. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to gather the bride into His barn. So watch, here they were. And maybe just a week or so after the wheat burst in the ground, here was the tares. And they looked so much like it that the workers, the farmer himself looked at them and said, what a crop of wheat. Wow. So they come back and told him, any weeds? Not a weed one. This is month number one. Wow. Boy, this is going to be an easy crop. That's what I tell them sometimes preacher wannabes are. Man, I'd like to be up here before everybody. I wish everybody knew my name. I'd like to be up there. Yeah. That's because you're not looking at the tares. Month two goes by. Any weeds? Not a one. Everybody that goes to Happy Valley loves God. They love the message. They love the preacher. They love everything. Really? But when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared, manifested, become visible. So now the wheat is a little, just a little increment of time ahead of the darnel when it opens up its head. The darnel actually has a head too. Now watch in verse 27. So the servants of the householder come and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow pure gospel seeds in thy field? From whence hath it tares? Now the servants, of course, godly men, they were so upset. I remember when I first came to this message, I thought, my goodness, I've come among a bunch of angels. I still think the same thing, but I'm just not sure from which realm they've come from. My, everybody loves God and everybody loves one another. Man, they're all saying the same thing. They all believe the same thing. But one day God busted my little world that I was living in. Oh, my. So here they say, sir, we can't believe this. Well, what in the world happened? Now, notice these preachers. They were so overwhelmed by the growth of these tares, because one day they step out there and they say, I cannot believe how many tares there are. Here all this time, I've been thinking all these people that's been listening to tapes and that we've been handing out books to, we're all believers. I mean, that women complied on the outside, the men looked the part, they talked the part, they even all had the same belt buckle. They had the same license plate on their cars. Malachi 4. The men hung across from their mirror. My! That was in them early stages. And they was coming up like that. Then all of a sudden the preachers look at them and say, you've got to be kidding me. This one's leaving. That one's leaving. This preacher's leaving. This one's resigning. That one's stepping down. This people's leaving. You're kidding me. So the servants come back to the man and say, oh, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath the tares? My, they are so upset. Which is complimentary to them, really. You understand that it takes high morals to recognize low morals. Do you know why this world does not really acknowledge too much as being wrong and sinful anymore? Because most of them are so wrong and sinful themselves. So the morals of the majority of humanity is so on the bottom, somebody has to do something really low for them to pay any attention to it. But you understand, folks that are of high moral, which is what these were. So now this, they're responsible. They're taking on themselves. Lord God, what did I do? God, did I not do so? Oh, Father, what in the world? These preachers are tore all to pieces. Yes,
amen. But Jesus calms them and says, an enemy hath done this. This is not your fault. And the servants, now watch them, real men. The servants said unto him, what thou then that? Yeah. Right. Right.
Come on.
Don't you want me to go out there and tell them to leave our church? You want me to go out there and I'll tell you, Lord, I'll do. You want me to do it?
Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now you see, Jesus knew very well that darnel was such a type
of these type of people. On the ground, when it comes up, it's almost identical in every stage. The last stage of fruition. But that's what you see. But underneath the ground, darnel will take its roots and wrap right around the real wheat. So in the ground, they're hard to be able to decide. Is that a darnel root or is that wheat or what? So you reach down and pick up that darnel and jerk it out. And when you do, you have just jerked out a real wheat. So what you have to do is leave both of them, the darnel standing here. You say, but they're 6 inches apart, only on the outside. Under the ground, they're just like this. And if you go to reaching down and pulling out that darnel, you'll pull out the wheat too. And there you pull up a son or daughter of God. But why does that trouble preachers? Because they're men of God. They're men of purity. They're men of holiness. And they hate looking out on their congregation. Or they hate looking in a move that they're a part of. That they have given their life for. It tears them to pieces. To look out there and see on the surface that tear. That darnel. And it brings reproach on the church. It brings reproach on this. I know many times you probably say, why don't Brother Donnie do this? And why don't Brother Donnie do that? I wish he'd throw so and so. I wish he'd do this and others. Because you're looking at it from your point of view. If you're standing up here where I'm standing and look at it, you look at it completely different. You're looking at it from the top of the ground. I'm looking at it from the bottom. That if I don't handle that right and I throw that one out, it'll take out this seed and that seed and that seed with it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I was a pastor, but you're not. Wilt thou then that we go gather them up? But he said, nope. You're kidding me, Lord. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up. Notice, not the outside. You root. Do you understand there might be one bad darnel in a family? Yet that whole family will attend a certain church. And if a preacher uproots that bad darnel before it's time, he can pull out that whole family that God ordained to sit under his ministry. Now, if the darnel does it, God will make the darnel answer. But if the servant does it, God will make the servant answer. Listen to me, children. You mean there's times that we have to let things go? If you believe what Jesus said. Well, glory to God. Let both grow together. So the preaching will come, hallelujah, glory to God. The anointing will fall at the end of the service. The darnel will stand up, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And the little wheat, thank you, Jesus. They'll both grow, they'll both mature, and they'll both pull from the same nutrients of the soil. Let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the darnel. Amen. Oh, wow. So before the rapture, there's to be a darnel gathering. Yeah. Wake up, children. Wake up. There's to be a gathering of the testimony. Well, Brother Donnie, what about the roots? The wheat will have already reached the life stage. And if the roots, that humanity part is pulled up, it won't matter. It's already mature. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Don't you see? Let them go together. Let the cycle of the darnel run its full course. Let the cycle of the wheat run its full course. And when the life is all drawn back up in the wheat head, then pull it up. Because the flesh won't matter then. It'll be under the subjection of the Word of God. And the roots, the whole thing is fixing to be changed. Gather together first the tares. And bind them in bundles. So there'll be a little group over here and a little group over there and a little group over there. Preachers will gather some. Websites will gather others. Don't you see what's happening? some of these websites, some of these people that are leaders in this day and even gifted men of God. In the first place, don't you see what's happening? They're gathering them a bundle. A bundle here and a bundle there and a bundle there. Oh, Lord, have mercy, children. Are we that close? Are we that close to the last stage of the tares are being bundled together? Satan so opposed the work of God that he figured the best way to work against the work of God was to sow counterfeit Christian seeds among the wheat. Now, these tares are not agnostics and infidels. I don't even believe there is a God. That's not a tare. A tare is a professed believer. So Satan comes to and he sows them professed believers. So they both come up. How they burst. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was a wretched old sinner. Somebody told me about the blood. Somebody told me about the cross. And over here is the seed of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was a wretched old sinner. I was lost on my way to hell. And somebody told me the truth. Praise God. Depending on what church they're born up in, if they're brought up under a Baptist atmosphere, both of them will grow. They'll grow right along, man. They'll become on the old age lady society, and they'll become on this committee and that committee and that committee and that committee, and they'll work like an old mule does, and they'll put forth their effort. If they're a Pentecostal in that kind of atmosphere, they'll both jerk and shout and jump and carry on. If they're burst out from under the message of the hour, both of them will pack message books, and they have belt buckles and license plates and all them. Man, you look at them and say, oh my, what a crop of wheat I got. Then when it comes to the end time, and the wheat just jumps ahead just a little bit, and the head starts coming open. Amen. And then you walk, look at this one. That brother ain't been acting right lately. I've been watching him in church when I'm preaching. I can tell a lot of folks of their attitude according to the word. A lot about where they are. I don't have to shake your hand. I don't want to come down and sit and dinner with you, know where you are. I'll watch your attitude when the word's coming forth. That tells me more about a lot of times your lying lips will tell me. And then all of a sudden you see a change. You see something happening. You see it moving. What is it? It's the harvest cycle. It's the harvest cycle. So Satan, what does he do? Satan goes out there and he sows these darnel. They go to the ground and come up. How do they come up?
I'm going down to gamble. I'm going down to the honky tonk and see if I can tonky honk. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to get drunk.
That ain't the kind of seed he sowed. He sowed a seed. Oh, God, I'm a lost sinner. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, save me. So that's the way they burst. They come out. People look at him. Man, he got it, didn't he?
Really? What was it he got?
Boy, look at him. He listens to more tapes than anybody. He reads more books, which, in our view, makes him a real believer. And he can sit there for 20 years, 30, 40. All of a sudden, the wheat will inch beyond it. But because all wheat doesn't ripen at the same time, the darnel can still hide under that fake identity that maybe it's just not a mature wheat yet. But once the wheat starts opening up all over the field. Let's let Jesus interpret this parable for us in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world and the good seed. Oh my goodness, you mean the good seed ain't the Bible? Really? You mean seed are people? These are the words of the Lord Jesus. You believe them, right? The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. No wonder they act wicked. Now let's look at this word, tares. Zinanion. There can be little doubt that the zinanion of the parable denotes the weed called darnel. The darnel, before it comes into ear, is very similar appearance to wheat. Hence the command that the tares should be left to the harvest. Lest while men plucked up the tares, they should root up the wheat with them. These plants would be inseparable from the wheat. They are at first sight hardly distinguishable. You look at them and you say, my goodness, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which one is it? Can't tell them apart. when the grain is headed out, the tares have done the same. But where both are less developed, the closest scrutiny will often fail to detect them. Even farmers who generally weed their fields do not attempt to separate the one from the other. The grains of the tares, if eaten, produce convulsions and even death. I've done a little expanded search on it this morning. Look at the symptoms that I found that comes with eating darnel. Sleepiness or drowsiness. Sleeping virgins, maybe? I don't know. I'm just wondering. Hypnotic episodes. Convulsions. Drunkenness. Intoxication. Actually, the Easterners can take this darnel and mix so much of it with a drink, and they get drunk on it. Sounds like Laodiceans, huh? Trembling. Inability to walk worthy of the gospel. Hindered speech. You remember there's some Jews one time in a certain tribe. They had a hard time saying certain words. So they was going to identify these guys and see which one was which. So they come up to them and said, say shibboleth. Well, this certain tribe couldn't say shibboleth, so they'd say sibboleth. And their language gave them away. Because they only left out H. H may not matter if you're talking about him or her, but if you're talking about Elohim, it really matters. So these people, the side effects then of partaking of darnel, the inability to walk, hindered speech, vomiting up the message, stupefaction, and dim-sightedness. I can't see Malachi 4 no more. You see it? You do? Really? Oh, that's right. You got long hair and a long dress. You're one of them. I can't see. You see the mark of the beast? No, I can't see that either. What about that World Council of Churches? Are you afraid of it? Nah, they're all Christians like we are. Dim-sightedness. Jesus says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels or messengers. So the tares are people, sons of the devil, masquerading as Christians. Sons of the devil, acting like Christians. So they cloak themselves in Christian terms, in Christian scriptures. They read their Bible. Oh, they love it so much. God so loved the world. Why don't you turn over and read Ephesians 4? About he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. If John 3:16 was the only Bible, the only scripture we needed in the Bible, we would need a very big book, would we? I mean, you carry your Bible around like this, just writing on your hand. It'd be the only Bible you need, John 3:16. But apparently God knew you needed more than John 3:16. You need Acts chapter 2. You need Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Come on, children. You need Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We don't just need John 3:16. We need the whole book. The people munching on darnel.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I don't feel good. You don't look good either. You look a lot better when you're sitting in a message church.
Amen.
I don't feel good. Whoops. Excuse me. can't see. I know what it is. It's that eye salve. It's that eye salve that you needed. You put it back up in the medicine cabinet because you thought you didn't need it. Tares are not infidels. They are Christians. Whenever the tares are standing by the wheat, farmers were so meticulous. They would not let working hands, women or children, even in the field, to try to pull them up. But once it reaches harvest, they send women and children into the fields to gather the darnel. Because it's so different from the wheat once it reaches its completion. Even a child can look at it and know this is poison. Verse 40, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's bow our heads. Merciful God. Lord Jesus, here we are at the end time. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us. Be merciful, Lord. If there's any that's turned away that can be brought back, may they, dear God. Many sitting here have sons and daughters and friends and family members and loved ones. Been backslid for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. Some following this Antichrist move to pull away from the message. Any that can be brought back, Lord, bring them back. Help us to go forth as those servants, so under the influence and the aspiration of our King, that we're witness to Him. When we feel that nudge of your Spirit, Father. May they see the King's expression on our face. And may they say about us as they did about Peter and John, they were ignorant and unlearned men, but you could tell they had been with Jesus. May they say about us, and people are strange and they're weird, but I'll tell you one thing, if you ever need a prayer answered, they can get in touch with God. Lord, help us. Oh God, I realize that we'll never be able to bring Darnell to a saving knowledge. But it's really hard for a sheep, Lord, because we have your love so deep within us. We don't want to see nobody perish. Some of these folks that have left this word, it'd tickle them to death that if I'd get killed in a car wreck, or some of these message preachers, they'd rejoice. It shows how far they've fallen. But if we heard that one of them got killed in a car wreck, we'd say, oh God, have mercy. It shows the difference. The darnel is so poisoning their minds. They're reading their Bibles. And yet, they're dim-sighted. They're convulsing. Moving into these states where they feel like they're right with you. Help us, dear God. As we ministers look across the field and we think, Lord, didn't you sow good seed in your field? And we think, my, this man, that man, this woman, this boy, this girl, this one been in for 40 years. This one for 30, this one for 20. Lord Jesus, stabilize us. Grant it, I pray. O Lamb of God, if there's one here today who isn't ready to meet you. I've stood on the pulpit, or the platform rather, under tents. I've stood under the big gospel tents in Pentecost. Make the altar call. Lord, I've stood in prayer lines, seen you do miracles and supernatural, phenomenal things. Make an altar call and people come running, screaming. But today, Lord, I make one.
these other brothers make one. Brother Terry told me the other day, Lord, about his report to Peru and come back. One brother wanted to consecrate his life and get baptized. We rejoice because we know the value of that one soul. 40 years ago, it'd probably been 500 or 1,000. The end is upon us. Help us, Lord Jesus. We so need you. We so need you, Lord. And we'd like to be remembered today in prayer. God bless you, saints. I can't pray over you today and change you from darnel to wheat. No more than you can. But if you're a wheat that's immature wheat, or a wheat that's been blighted, or a wheat that's been affected by disease of some sort, I do have the power of prayer to pray over that and ask God to help you. Maybe you love God with all of your heart, but you're just not where you need to be or what you need to be. Let Him search your heart. Let Him speak to you. Let Him deal with you. Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. I don't want Jesus to say to me and you, you were not worthy to sit under my table. No, God. No, Brother Gene, don't let Him say that to us. Don't let Him say you're not worthy. But let Him say, walk with me, for you're worthy. You have a life worthy of the message of the hour. Your life reflected what my prophet taught, what my ministers have taught. I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers. You're talking about a life that a person can live. That the Old Testament said about the Messiah, that He would not be ashamed to call them brothers. Can Jesus put His arm around you and call you a brother or a sister and say, you live so much like me. I'm not ashamed for the world to see me and you together. You're my buddy. You're my pal. You're my friend. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be a life? Wouldn't that be a walk? That's my goal. I said, that's my goal. So the Lord Jesus can put His arm around me and say, me and Donnie's buddies. We're pals. I've told you before, the greatest men of this age call me their friend. I count it an honor. It'd be easy for me to call the great men of God of this day. Oh, Brother Tim Pruitt, he's my friend. Well, this brother and that brother and that brother, man, they're my friend. That could be me saying that. But when I get texts from them, like I did from Brother Tim the other day, Brother Donnie, we are so excited about you coming down to be with us. We're so excited, my friend. So that ain't me saying it. That's him. I can say, oh, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm that. But when Jesus says it, my buddy, my friend, my child, my ecclesia. You mean Brother Donnie? He says it. He does. He vindicates it by His presence in our lives. Let's just worship Him together. I know this has been a solemn weekend, both last night and today. But I thank God for it myself. Let's just do a search now in our hearts and our lives. Just a few minutes before we go. I know you're probably going to take your mom out to eat dinner and all that, but I think Mama will wait. I think she'll be willing to. If something can be changed in one of your lives, Mama will well wait for her biscuits. Amen. Let's just meditate and think now on the Lord. Look at your life. Sing some more, Sarah.
Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me I'm not afraid to
Sails are torn.
have some good news to announce. Sister Mary Horniak has crossed the river. Good news for her. Saddening news for her family and her church family. Let's pray for them now that God will help them. Dear Lord Jesus, news like this, we receive it with mixed emotions. Lord, we wouldn't call our sister back to that old body she lived in for nothing in the world. Don't know exactly how long it's been since she's crossed over. But yet, Lord God, if it's only been an hour or so in that sixth dimension, oh, how I envy her. If she's only been there for 15 or 20 minutes, she wouldn't want to come back to this old place. So, Lord, we don't pray for her. Her journey has been completed. Her battles are finished. Oh, God. But, Lord, for her family, we want to pray for your mercy and strength to them today, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know they loved her so much. Dear God, I pray for Brother Tom, the daughters, the sons. May you help them, Lord. What a time to pass. Yet, Brother Tom said this morning, what a Mother's Day present it would be if she'd get to go home. But yet, Lord, when the reality of that strikes us, it can be so difficult. I pray that you'd strengthen them today, dear Father, in the days that come, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's sing together, Look for Me, Harry. God bless you, saints. I love you today. Trust you received a little something out of the service today. May God help us. We can be what He wants us to be. I don't want to just be a wheat plant. I want to be a mature one. I want to be a fruitful one, don't you? I want to stand out there and raise my head, let it come to its ripeness, and let this husk pull away and let me go. Look for me, for I will be there too. Let's sing it together just before we go. I realize when you arrived, help me so much to you. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, for me, for I will be there too. When you finally make your entrance to that city, oh my, of jasper walls and bright golden avenues. Thank God, and you'll behold all its beauty and its splendor. Remember there's just one I make you. Let's sing it. Look for me, for I will be there too. God bless you, saints. I'll see you Wednesday night on the field, God. When you cry, there'll be so much.